Hello and welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast series. I am your host, Aarti Ravikrishnan, and I am the founder and MD of Prerna Advisory, based in South Africa. My philosophy and that of my business is to inspire others to make step changes that changes their lives purposefully and productively. Therefore, I coach, consult, capital raise, and partner with all you crazy, beautiful people in the world to make that happen. Joining me on the show today is Sujata Gupta. Sujata is a former IT specialist who for 24 plus years used to do things like internal audit, delivery assurance, risk management and compliance, until she realized that this wasn't her true calling. She is now an apparel and textile designer and the proud owner of the fashion house and label Nandini Studio, which retails online in India, UK, and Canada. The garments really look beautiful and so comfortable and simple, and the ethos is centered around quality craftsmanship using organic textiles. Sujata, this is quite a story, taking a gamble like this to pursue your passion, and I want to hear more about it. So welcome so much to the Inspire Your Life podcast today.
Thank you so much, Aarti. It's my pleasure to be on your podcast. I know I've delayed it for a couple of months, but I'm glad that it is happening now. And I'm so excited.
Absolutely. I know, you know, with the pandemic, things went a little bit out of timeline for you. You were busy with a new collection. Lots of things were on the go. Right. But I'm so glad you're here now. And, you know, I want to get to know you more, Sujata. And I'm sure our listeners do too. So tell us more about yourself.
Okay, so I am an IT engineer by education, by profession. I come from the northern regions of India. So I've been born and brought up near Delhi. I am married. I have a daughter who's 19 years old. She's studying at the New York University. Okay. She's going to the second year now.
Yeah.
And I, like you mentioned, I was in the corporate life for about 24 plus years. And suddenly I decided one day that I want to quit. And I want to do something else that interests me. I mean, not that my job never interested me, but, you know, some change.
Yes.
And I love to be creatively occupied. I love to knit and to crochet. And I hate being idle. So I just cannot sit idle and watch TV or something like that.
Oh,
I enjoy cooking as well. Yeah. So yeah. Another thing that keeps me busy is cooking.
Oh, lovely. All these creative pursuits. I love it. And I just mentioned Nandini Studio in the introduction to you. But tell us more about it. What's your business like? What is it all about? Share.
Yeah. So I conceived Nandini Studio in 2018. So the name was not decided at that point in time. And we were, you know, I was looking for a sort of a Sanskrit name or a mythological name for the brand. And I asked my husband for suggestions, and he gave me some suggestions which I didn't like. I gave him some suggestions which he didn't like.
Okay.
So Nandini is my daughter's name. So we decided, okay, we will not look for names. We'll just name it Nandini Studio.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful.
How it was named. And it was conceived in 2018. And I started work on it in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So my first collection was ready in 2019. It came out in the market beginning of 2020.
Okay.
So I have, you know, from the very beginning of my life, I was influenced by my, you know, older generations doing some form of knitting, crochet, embroidery, whatever forms they were interested in. And I used to do it a lot myself as well.
Okay.
But then, you know, after college, when I got married and I got into the corporate life, there was no time left for that. And it just, you know, went out of the window, sorts of.
Okay.
And then what happened was my daughter, she was growing up, she took up painting classes, and the teacher used to come to our place. So I also joined along with her. And that is how the journey started again.
Mm.
So what Nandini Studio does is we do female garments. They're very simple garments, very, you know, they're ready to wear and very luxurious, affordable, and using natural fabrics, natural fibers.
Okay.
And we also do hair accessories which use these techniques like crochet or embroidery or something, some earrings, you know, some accessories.
Yes, yes.
And though the intention, I started with garments, but we have now, you know, sort of diversified into various product lines.
Okay. Well, fantastic. And all of that in like just about 2 years, Sujatha. I mean, that's quite a bit, actually. And, you know, given that you were in that very sort of traditional corporate focus, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, how did that sort of, how did that shift work for you? And then also, you know, you mentioned even in your introduction that suddenly you sort of took this up. And I'm sure there must have been something that, you know, was incongruent or something that just kind of said to you, hey, this is like the time. And I kind of want to know a bit more about that. How did that happen? What is the process there?
Yeah. So when I was growing up, you know, my family is very education focused. Uh-huh. So I mean, it's like, you know, you need to be well read. Mm-hmm. That was sort of an unsaid kind of a requirement in our family.
Okay.
Yeah. So all of us went on for studies and all. But yeah, it's like the age of 22, 23, you are studying and you complete your graduation, post-graduation, whatever you want to do. Right. So and then you get into a job or business or whatever. Okay. So always, you know, during those years, I used to think, oh, no, assuming that I live for 6 to 6 years or more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you spend 1/3 of your life in education, maybe 1/3 of your life just in the corporate hustle and bustle, making some money, because end of the day, money is important.
Right.
And then, you know, the remaining part of the year, maybe 1/3 of your life, you do something that you really, really are passionate about.
Okay.
And that is a belief that was always in my mind. So I enjoyed my corporate life very much. It was not that I didn't like it or, you know, I got bored of it, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it was just, you know, just one aspect of my life, the corporate life.
Yeah.
So when I touched 40, I had a very strong desire to do something else, something different.
Okay.
And that is how, you know, I started thinking on those lines. And okay. Fortunately for me, at that time, I got reintroduced to painting and other things.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I have to do something else apart from just the corporate life.
Right. Okay. So that age, that, you know, getting over that wonderful milestone of age 40 was sort of like one of those trigger moments for you that, okay, you know what, this is now 2/3 of my life gone if I'm still looking at the 66 age lifespan. And actually now it's time for me to think about what it is I really want to pursue. Okay. So that's incredible. And I guess I want to know, so once you came to this decision then, what was the first thing you did, your first action to make the change happen?
Yeah, so you know, I actually used to discuss it with a couple of my friends, you know, at least a couple of years before I finally quit. I was talking to people about it, my close friends and everybody, but mm-hmm. but somehow I was not able to gather the courage to do so.
Okay.
So then I started looking for maybe, you know, I should do a course or something so that, you know, that could be a starting point. Right. So one day, I mean, as luck would have it, I was traveling from the airport to my house. We were coming back from Delhi. So it was raining cats and dogs. And, you know, my car was moving very slowly because of the traffic.
Okay.
And I just noticed a big board of Pearl Academy. It was gold and red. So they have a red logo.
Mm-hmm.
And Pearl Academy is a fashion design institute, which is mm-hmm. very, very famous in India. It was mm-hmm. not present in Bombay. It had just been introduced in Bombay that
okay.
time, maybe a couple of years. And that was the point that I said, yes, this is what I want
wow.
to do. And I went home, I researched a little bit more about uh-huh. Pearl Academy. I found out, you know, when what are the courses they offer. So luckily, I found one-year course. I didn't want to invest too much, you know, like 3-4 years into education again.
Yes, yes.
I wanted a small course, you know, they'll just give me the starting point.
Right.
And they had a one-year course. And fortunately, the admissions were going on at that point in time. I applied, I got selected, And I just came and put in my papers.
Wow.
So that is how it happened.
I mean, that just sounds like a series of fortunate events, you know, from, you know, just sort of idling and looking out the window, seeing a billboard and being triggered to actually move into action here. I mean, that's incredible, Sujata. Incredible. And, you know, I know what you're saying about that courage element, you know, to be able to make that start. Because I think a lot of people actually grapple with that. You know, you've got an idea. You maybe want to do something, but then thinking about making that change, you know, it's difficult because so much is at stake as an entrepreneur, as your own business person. What was that like for you to be able to say, right, I'm going to do this change now, even though I know it's a bit of the unknown for me?
So it was a very difficult decision. I wouldn't call it easy.
Yeah.
You know, like I told you, a couple of years I was just thinking about it, talking about it.
Yeah.
And I also knew that I will face resistance from my family, not my husband. My husband is cool about it.
Okay.
But from the others, elders especially, who would say, oh, you are so educated, you're so well read, why do you want to do this?
I mean, okay.
They think this is a tailoring kind of a job or something, you know.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So it was not so easy. But yeah, you know, I have always believed that you live your life only once. So do whatever you want to do. I mean, you may fail. I'm not saying you'll be successful at everything. You might fail, but that's okay. At least you tried.
Okay. I know. I think that's so important to have
that.
So
that is how it happens.
Okay.
But the main thing is, you know, the very important factor I would say here is you should have a stable financial background if you're taking such a plunge, because you should not mess it up.
Right. Well, I think that is very important, Sujata. Oh my goodness. And you know what really takes me away here is the fact that, you know, obviously the pandemic hadn't started. And then, you know, you kind of launched. And I'm thinking, you know, there's so much at stake here because, you know, you're in the middle of the pandemic, you're trying to progress. What's it been like, you know, releasing new collections and just sort of, you know, as you said, extending product lines? Has that been easy for you?
So I'll tell you why it's not been so difficult for me, because, you know, I didn't want, the intention was not to make money. You know, so it was not like, you know, I'm starting this business because I want to earn out of it.
Okay.
The intention was to keep you creatively occupied and also enjoy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, whether I make money after 5 years or 4 years or 2 years or 1 year, I mean, that was immaterial to me.
Okay.
Right. So I started, you know, like my retail started in the beginning of 2020, January 2020 to be precise, and it was going great. Then I think end of March or April, the pandemic started and lockdown started happening.
Yeah.
So obviously the sales went down because I supplied to stores and all, and the stores were shut.
Yes.
But that didn't bother me much because I it was just my first collection there.
Okay.
And so I thought, okay, let me do something more creative, because I couldn't do collections at that point in time because the tailors were shut, the studios were shut, everything was shut.
Mm.
So I would sit at home and make crochet accessories, which was just an experimentation.
Right.
I created new product lines. Then when the lockdowns opened and some amount of work started, so we got into some more accessories, like, you know, beaded earrings and beaded accessories. So we created product lines during that.
Okay. I mean, I love how you were able to turn that narrative, you know, instead of being disheartened and thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this is going to be the end of it. You sort of said, well, let me use this time in a different way. And I'm sure it was stressful. So the design elements that you were busy with were obviously a way of also making sure the stress levels were in check. But that's wonderful that you were able to now look at an expansion of your product line and sort of have that ready for when stores and shopping was going to be a bit more accessible to people. So, yeah, I mean, it makes me wonder, you know, this is you living the dream. So is it worth it to pursue this dream?
I would say yes, if you can.
If you can.
You should make an attempt to pursue your dream.
Okay.
You should definitely. But you should always have this in mind that, you know, there is a high possibility of failure. Maybe 2% or 3% of startups really survive. So there is a high probability of failure.
Yeah.
But if you keep your perseverance and your patience and you keep on investing, you will definitely make it. It might take some time. That is something you should accept.
Mm-hmm,
and even at the end of the day, if you're not able to make it, at least you tried. So you live with the happiness of trying.
Yes. Okay. That's very good advice, actually. And maybe another way in which you could maybe offer some advice to our listeners is, what are some of the things that we would need to prepare for when we're thinking about changing careers and shifting perspectives and actually reaching for that dream?
I would say always give in your best, but be prepared for the worst.
Okay.
Because especially this industry or maybe other industries as well, the competition is huge. I mean, it's very difficult to get in. So you have to create something that sets you a little bit apart. I mean, you may not have the right set of, you know, people to make certain things. You need to look for people.
Yeah.
Like even for crochet, you know, I started on my own. Then I asked people around, is there anybody who does that? Then I got a couple of folks who do it.
Okay.
So now they do it for me.
All right.
But you know, you need to keep your eyes, ears open every time and look out for the right people who can work for you.
Mm-hmm.
People generally say, you know, this is my hobby. I want to do it as my profession as well.
Yes.
And it's easier said than done because business is very different from a hobby. And that I have realized, you know, as a hobby, I may do certain things, but as a business, they may not make sense.
Right.
Another thing I want to say is always use your finances very judiciously. Don't burn out your cash in the initial phases of the business because you're so excited at that time, you want to spend everywhere.
Right.
And then you realize that you have no cash left to, you know, grow your business, scale up your business. So that is something you should be very, very cautious about.
Careful about. Okay. Well, that's very important advice, actually. Okay. And now when I'm thinking about how you're celebrating, you know, the setbacks you've had as well as the wins that you've had. You know, what does that mean for you, both from a business perspective as well as in your personal life, Sujata?
Very honestly speaking, Aarti, I'm a person who takes everything in a stride. So I don't get overwhelmed even by wins or by failures.
Okay.
Yeah, it does give you a high or a low for a small bit of time, but it doesn't linger on with me for a long time.
Okay.
I just move on.
Right. So you just enjoy the moment or take in the perspective, you know, if it's something negative and kind of work with it and move on. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. And if you look back, like with hindsight, is there anything you regret? Do you wish you would have started this sooner? Is there anything like that that comes up for you?
Yes. I do feel maybe I should have started a bit sooner.
Okay.
Because any business takes its own time to scale up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you cannot rush that up.
No, absolutely.
It will take its own time.
Yeah.
So maybe I should have started a bit sooner, but then maybe, you know, everything happens when it has to happen.
Mm.
So I'm okay with that also.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is that, there have been lots of learnings, and that's a part of the process.
Yeah.
But the most important learning that I have had in this specific business is never to stock up inventory, because I did that mistake when I started.
Okay.
Because the market needs keep on changing and they are very unpredictable, especially in this sector. So never stock up inventory, only, you know, start at a slow pace and then you grow, you see how the market is responding and then accordingly, you know, take actions.
Right. Oh, lovely, lovely lessons, that we could all use. And looking ahead, Sujata, beyond into the rest of 2021 and beyond, what's in store for you, for the House of Nandini?
So yeah, the garment creations are anyways going to be there. So I'm already, you know, starting to design my new collection.
Okay.
I gave a lot of gap between my first and the second collection. The second collection just launched this month.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost 1.5 years, you know, gap, which okay. shouldn't have happened, but because of COVID, it happened somehow.
Right.
So
right.
now I think I should create every 6 months, maybe I should create one collection, may not be as big, maybe just 10 garments or 12 garments.
Okay.
So that is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from that, I want to introduce new product lines, you know, within jewelry also, because yeah. I am a jewelry fan.
Right.
More than garments, I like jewelry.
Okay.
So I am definitely going to make new product lines into jewelry or okay. footwear or bags, you know, accessories.
Basically. Right. Okay. Okay. And I'm sure you're going to see very good take up of that as well. Everyone loves accessories.
Thank you.
Know.
Thank you so much.
You know, you've already shared some really lovely and you know, I think very practical advice for myself, for my listeners as well. I would really want to know, you know, is there sort of one key piece of advice that you'd really want to share with all of us about how we can pursue our dreams?
I think, you know, people say you should learn from the mistakes of others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that really happens.
Okay.
But we all make mistakes. That is true. Mm-hmm. But at least we should learn from our own mistakes. We should, you know, not shove away the mistakes under the carpet saying, oh, it just happened, or it was just a stroke of bad luck or something.
Yes.
We should accept our mistakes and analyze why something went wrong, and if possible, we should try and not repeat those mistakes.
Absolutely.
So that is the best we can do.
Okay.
This is a key piece of learning, I would say. Mm-hmm. I can give you one example. You know, when we started making those earrings, the beaded earrings.
Yes.
It took me around 6 months to get the perfection right, the stitches right, in spite of the fact that I was using a trained karigar, mm-hmm. and a trained person who, they do all, you know, lehengas and dresses,
right.
they do all embroideries, but earrings they had never done, and earrings need to have that kind of a stiffness to it, you know,
right.
so that they hang in properly. They mm-hmm. just don't blow away with the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me more than 6 months. And the last piece also, when he made, after that, I was so upset with that karigar. I said, you are just not making what I'm wanting. And I just gave up the idea. You know,
okay.
I just stopped there. I said, I don't want to make it okay, because you've spent so much of money and energy and effort.
Yeah.
And you know, that is my take on, you know, the output that should come out should be very good, very fine quality.
Mm.
And you won't believe it. Maybe I am over obsessed with it. I sent those earrings to a store in the US, in New York.
Okay.
And I said, you first see them. Only if you like them, then we will go ahead with
yes,
them.
Yes, proceed. Okay.
And the feedback that I got from her are, she loved them. They are so beautifully done. The fineness is so, I mean, it's to the point. And while I had not liked them personally, I mean,
yeah.
in the sense of the finish,
yes.
but she loved them so you know, sometimes you think you are too strong with yourself, maybe,
right
you know,
too critical.
Yeah
I understand.
Too critical of your things, and she really loved them. And then I said, okay, so then I think I should start on that again.
Right.
So this is how, you know, it's a cycle kind of a thing.
Yes. Oh, what a lovely example of, yeah, we can be our own worst judge, Sujata. That's so true.
Yeah,
really
is true. So, but I also feel we shouldn't be so harsh on ourselves sometimes.
A bit of the two double-edged sword there. Oh man, it's been so lovely chatting with you, getting to know more about your journey and obviously the beautiful work that you're doing with your fashion label. As we come to the end, Sujata, I'd love it if you would share with us an inspirational quote, a song lyric, a spiritual verse, well, anything along those lines that actually uplifts and motivates you to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys follow Bollywood or you don't, or you know what is Bollywood. Bollywood is the Hindi film industry based in Mumbai.
Yes.
And
I'm a big fan. Yeah, I follow.
Oh, is it? So you know Shah Rukh Khan, is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm a big fan of Shah Rukh Khan.
Okay.
And there's a movie which is called Kal Ho Na Ho. Mm-hmm. So Kal Ho Na Ho means tomorrow may not happen, mm-hmm. in English, if I have to translate. Mm-hmm. It has a very beautiful song. The lyrics are in Hindi. Maybe I can send you a YouTube link of the song or something else. But I will translate it for you in English.
Okay.
So it means life is changing every moment. Sometimes it is sunshine and sometimes it is rain. But live every moment to the fullest, and these moments may not turn up again.
Mm.
So these are the four lines of that song. In fact, the whole song is very beautiful. Mm. But these four lines really, really uplift me. Every time when I listen to this, it inspires me, it motivates me. I can put it on autoplay and listen to it the entire day. So it's like that. And, you know, whenever I have to talk to the younger generation also, like my daughter or others, I always tell them the same thing. You know, live your life to the way you want to live it. Don't live your life just for others. I mean, you have to keep everybody, you know, satisfied and happy. That's a different thing. But don't live your life as per their expectations. Mm. You live your life for yourself and enjoy everything that you do. It may be positive, it may be negative. Everything is not going to be rosy.
Absolutely. Ah, beautiful, beautiful way to end off our segment, Sujata. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Aarti. I am so honored to be a part of your podcast. I loved it. I loved every bit of talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you take care, okay?
You too.
All right.
Thank
bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode today. If you like what you heard, rate the episode and podcast, and feel free to write a review. Plus, of course, share with others too. I love talking around topics like these. So if you like my perspective or insight on a subject close to your heart, or something that you're grappling with, reach out to me in your comments or send me an email via my website, or connect with me via LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. All my social media are on the podcast information. If it's important to you, then it's important to me. So happy listening to the Inspire Your Life podcast, and catch you soon on the next episode. Bye.